Welcome to Camp Creepyhead Saturday Morning Monster Mash! Blah!
This episode is brought to you by Global Milk.
Global Milk!
Do we look like we know what a JPEG is? All I want is a picture of a god dang hot dog. Global Milk, a subsidiary of Red Panther Productions.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 118 of Count Creepyhead Saturday Morning Monster Mash.
118? That's something with my spleen. I made the rhyme. Bleh.
I enjoy the ones where you don't quite know what you're going to say, and you're just like, bleh. Those are my favorites.
Spleen. Bleh. That is the entire joke. You laugh. I say spleen. Spleen is funny word. Ha!
Oh, good times.
I'm overtired.
Yeah. I keep having, like, the weirdest fucking dreams. You know, like, you have a dream and you can be like, ah, that's why I had this dream. You know, like, I'm afraid of fire, so I had a nightmare about fire. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with my dreams where, like, if I'm having a bad dream and I wake up and I go back to sleep, the dream continues. So, like, my brain's like a VCR. It'll hit pause and I'll come back to it. So I wasn't having a bad dream. I was having a weird dream and that I was stuck in a Pizza Hut and I couldn't leave until my food was made and they would not make my food. And that was the dream. I was just like 8 hours of me sitting around, like, bored out of my mind at a Pizza Hut waiting for a vegetable pizza. Like, it was the weirdest fucking dream, and it sucks because you're like, man, can I have, like, a dream where I'm fighting a dinosaur or, like, you know, take your pick of, like, any other crazy, like, oh, hey, Swedish bikini team, what are you doing here? Or, you know, like, just fun dreams. No.
Or, hey, Robert Carradine in a Swedish bikini, what are you doing here?
Yeah. It's never that, though. I don't know why.
It's never the good stuff.
It's always like, I'm doing my taxes. Yay. Josh, I heard you got some good news on the little housing front there.
We own a fucking house!
Woohoo!
So we'll be officially moving in, I believe, like mid to late June.
Congratulations.
Wow, thank you.
You guys heard it here first. Josh will probably be missing in action for a month to 2 months. We're going to give Josh all the time he needs to move in, get comfortable, you know, get the divining rod to find the well for his water because he lives in Texas. Get a priest to bless his property so there's no ghosts.
No, we want the ghosts.
I was going to say keeping, the ghosts can be good.
They're keeping the ghosts. There's no basement in this house because it's Texas and they don't believe in basements.
This is correct and I fucking hate it.
Fred the Alamo.
Yeah, exactly. among other things, I didn't prepare any jokes for Josh's house purchasing, but we're proud of you, dude. Good job. A++. How many bathrooms?
I'm excited. 2.5.
Holy shit.
Nice.
So you have, wait, you know what that means? You have the bathroom specifically for your dups. And then you have the guest bathroom and then the bathroom for you and Ruth.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
Our bathroom has a jacuzzi tub.
Oh. You fucking asshole.
Nice.
Lucky son of a bitch.
That was definitely, to be fair, we already, by the time we had, like, gotten upstairs, we'd already made that point, like, given each other the look of, like, we want this.
Big enough for two?
But then, yes.
Oh.
It is a true, like, garden-style scoop jacuzzi tub.
That's awesome. You gotta send us pictures of you and the cats in the jacuzzi tub.
And yeah, no, it's as I came walking out of the master bathroom, I just kind of whispered to Ruth. I was like, put in an offer. And she came walking out of the bathroom. She was like, yeah, I think we're offering.
That's
and yeah, and somehow we beat out other fucking offers.
Which is great.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, that feels doubly insane. That's just like, what? We other people wanted it and we got it? Okay.
It's going to happen, you know? Like, you got to just play the game and wait, and you guys deserve it. So, good for you, man.
Why, thank you.
Somebody's, you know, other offers fell through. Whatever, man. Just good job.
I can't wait to see the cats fucking react to it.
They're gonna have a blast, man.
They'll do that thing that all cats do in the new environment, where they'll scooch around all nervous for like a day, and then they're gonna be bouncing off the damn walls.
Yep. Yep.
Good old cats. How was everybody's eclipse? I know it's like 2 weeks late.
Mine was absolutely nothing. It was complete overcast, and I couldn't see shit.
Yep, same here. It got really fucking dark.
Yeah, no, that was cool.
I can't lie. I saw it. It was pretty fucking amazing. I was not ready for it to be as impressive as it was. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're sitting there, and every once in a while the clouds would part, because we just pulled our chairs outside. Clouds would part, we'd catch a little bit with the eclipse glasses, and then we'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool. I don't know if we're going to see anything. And then, you know, totality hit, and the clouds, like, parted just as it was hitting.
That's cool.
And we just had this perfect view, and both of us were just like, oh, holy shit. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I think both of us teared up, because it was just one of those, like, I don't know what we were expecting, but it wasn't quite that, and it was a hell of a sight. I'm sorry you guys didn't get to see it.
Yeah, no, I really wish I got to, but, you know. It was still cool experiencing that level of darkness during the middle of the day. Like, that was really cool. But yeah, no, I was a little bummed, especially because I got up early so I could so I could see it. Because I'd worked the night before, and I was like, oh, let me make sure I don't miss it. And I was outside, you know, sitting in my car across the street, just kind of waiting, looking up at the sky, waiting. I'm like, it's still really fucking cloudy. And then, of course, you know, when totality hit, I'm like, oh, I can't see it in any direction. Well, that's cool darkness.
I like that for some reason you momentarily turned into Richard Nixon.
I did.
Well, yeah, you're like,
oh, wow. Spiro Agnew.
Then, yes, I meant to.
We had the Girl Scouts at our house for the eclipse, and because we had like the biggest backyard. I won't say names, but one of the Girl Scouts had a complete fucking freak out.
Oh, no.
Because it was like, you know, dark during the day. And, you know, they're little girls in the end. And one of them was just like, Jesus Christ, we're all going to die. It was a little weird.
That's actually kind of wonderful.
You know, because everybody was like, it's okay. It's just, you know, it's just a shadow. It's already passing, because like the birds were going nuts. But it was a total like Bill Mosley and Aliens, like, game over, man. Game over. And it really cracked me the fuck up, and I was like trying to keep a straight face, and
Oh god, yeah,
good times.
Gonna send you guys a picture of something that I just finished up here that you'll probably swear at me for, even though you know, it's not anything new, it's just a new paint job.
Josh made something glow in the dark that I need to fucking cut a toe off to make money for, you dickhead.
It's not glow in the dark, but it is very heavily inspired by very simple Kenner paint jobs.
Oh, wow. Bolt's still looking good, Josh.
Right?
I like that.
Oh, that looks badass.
Cool.
I'm specifically, I'm, no one has called me out for this yet, but if you look, the, I'm doing all of the alien eyes, like Snaggletooth.
Oh. Nice.
I don't know why, just like, I was looking through old Kenner Aliens, and I had that moment of like, man, those Snaggletooth eyes are fucking great for a weird alien.
They are.
Indeed.
It's really cool. Let me chew through like our random preambles here.
Preamble!
I hate Taylor Swift. Hot take. I don't think she has any fucking talent.
I just had this conversation with Ruth yesterday.
So she dropped a new double disc album that has multiple editions with one new song on each one. So you have to buy the thing like five times because she really cares about her fans.
Fuck and her.
Every single song is just her whispering. So it's, you know, like a guy on a keyboard doing like two notes and her kind of like, heart hands, blah, 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 you broke my heart.
And I don't know why, but I really thought you were going to say it's her and a gynecologist.
Yeah. And I know, like, I'm being derivative of Taylor Swift, and I'm probably pissing off a Taylor Swift fan that listens to the show. I'm sorry. But, like, it's too much. She needs to go away for a while because it's fucking god-awful.
You know what?
I'm so sick of hearing it.
You know what? I'm going to chime in for just a second, and I would like to say to any of our listeners that might be a Taylor Swift fan, her music is shameful, and you should be ashamed for listening to it.
Yeah.
God.
But Zoe and Teresa have just been listening to it on a loop, and I can't run away fast enough. Jesus H. Christ.
And her, like, who programmed her to dance? I don't want to say taught, because she is clearly some sort of computer woman. Like,
she is a soulless automaton.
Her, like, seriously, she is kind of soulless. The way she moves and speaks is kind of robotic. She looks and sounds like a living product.
Yeah, like she's not real.
Now, Josh, you got to be careful because they might come for you.
Yeah. Much like the birds.
Oh, God, the Swifties are at my door!
The Swifties are coming!
Look, so all I'm saying is it's not for me, and give it a break. Just a little rest on the Taylor Swift shit, Jesus H. Christ. Because it's going to be like a JoJo Siwa situation, and she's going to burn out, and everybody's going to fucking hate her. So do yourself a favor. And take a break from Taylor Swift. Please, for the love of God, please.
JoJo Siwa stuff, like, I knew nothing about this person before recently, and I gotta say, I am loving watching all the crazy videos on TikTok that are, like, reactions to JoJo Siwa. And they're really fucking funny.
So, JoJo Siwa... Oh, go ahead, Josh.
I was just going to say, like, well, while I am aware of JoJo Siwa and I have been seeing the meltdown, for the longest time I wasn't, and Ruth was trying to explain her to me, and she kept saying the name, and it sounded like just gobbledygook to me. I was like, I know you're saying words, but JoJo Siwa, that doesn't sound like it makes any sense. That's not English.
It sounds like something that Stan would yell as an exclamation in American Dad, like, JoJo Siwa! JoJo Siwa! Like, it really sounds like something Stan would yell.
Oh, God, it sounds like something any of the Smiths would yell.
Yeah.
Like, just picture Steve yelling that. JoJo Siwa!
Zoe was a huge JoJo Siwa fan when she's a little girl, and JoJo Siwa, as you would expect, was like a manufactured pop star.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was on Dance Moms and she could dance. And all she did was sell bows to little girls. And her music was very saccharine and harmless. So I didn't have a problem with JoJo Siwa. But now JoJo Siwa was trying to, like, become an adult.
Yeah.
and get out from underneath that. And she has no talent and no idea how to be cool as an adult. So she looks like a schizophrenic Gene Simmons.
I'm going to jump backwards for just a second, because I have to point out that I totally forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
Yeah, JoJo Siwa. And I had a tooth fall out. That's why I wasn't here last week. My mouth is like a cave full of stalactites. I'm like a Bond villain with like just gold teeth and
stalactite mouth.
Yeah. So I have a crown. I was eating a watermelon Sour Patch Kid, and it just took the whole fucking crown with it.
Ooh.
And it fell out while I was eating a very soft piece of candy. And if you've ever had a tooth fall out,
talk stalactite mouth.
Yeah. If you ever had a tooth fall out in your mouth, it's nerve wracking.
Yes, I have.
It sucks. And then I went to the dentist to get it taken care of, thinking that like my insurance would cover it because I pay for expensive dental coverage. And they told me to go suck an egg, that it wasn't covered under the warranty because it happened before like a time period. Basically, like they just found a way of not paying it. And it pissed me off something awful, and I have a false crown in now until my new one shows up, and I want to just punch somebody. It sucks.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. It's totally stupid and unimportant. I was just going to jump in and say that at some point in the episode, Roger would jump in and be like, I've programmed them all to think JoJo Siwa is an exclamation of excitement. They have no idea.
Is that still on the air?
I think so.
It's like the only thing left on TBS. It's like a program, I think.
I mean, I don't think TBS is a real station anymore. I think it's just an airing ground for American Dad.
Okay.
I think that is its excuse to exist.
I love that show.
Sorry, TBS, Ted Turner.
Another thing, another point that I want to make. We don't suffer this problem, but we know people that do. There's a thing that I don't know if it's a term, but like charity fatigue, where, you know, like, you know somebody and they have a cause and they're really, really passionate about it, and they want you to do their thing to raise money and awareness. And it's always something that's like an extrovert's wet dream and an introvert's nightmare.
Yep.
So it's like, come to the fucking touch-a-thon. Or we're going to run a 5K to raise awareness and money for the Boys Without Bones Foundation. Or, hey, we're going to play bingo in somebody's garage for dog, whatever.
I'm sorry, I have to ask, what is a touch-a-thon?
I know, I was kind of stuck on that myself.
You guys never heard of touch-a-thons?
No.
I don't think I want to.
It's not as weird as you think. There's a movie called Hands on a Hard Body, where you like touch a new car and the last person standing wins. It's for charity.
Oh,
they'll have like something you can't take your hands off of it. Touch-a-thon.
See, I've heard it called Hands on a Hard Body. I've never heard it called a touch-a-thon, and I was very confused.
I was like, this sounds kinky.
What the hell are they doing for charity over there?
My point being, thank you to the people for just allowing you to donate money from the shadows and not participate in their thing. Thank you so much for not making me run a fucking marathon. I had to go to a bingo event yesterday that was one of the worst things I've ever been to, because you had to participate. Where it's like, if I had the option to just give you $10, I would have.
Yep.
Having said this, if somebody wants to do a thon of like the napathon, where they like sponsor me to take a nap, totally down. Or better yet, a crapathon.
Yeah, I was like, say,
a cheesecake and shit my brains out, and you guys just give me money. And then I'll give it to like juvenile diabetes. Just say, throwing that out there.
What would that be? Like shit on a shark body?
Yeah. Where it's me and other lactose intolerant people eat foods we can normally not have and just shit everywhere. Why not? This joke seemed way better on paper. It's not.
I don't know. I think just the phrase "shit on a shark body" is worth it.
Anyways, shit on a shark body. Plug time, Josh. I know.
Or you could get really weird with it and say "shit on a shark body."
Yeah. How much money would it take, Josh, for me to give you the shit on a shark?
Yeah, you're gonna just give me the shark and like $10.
You would risk your life to take a dump like a Cleveland steamer on a great white.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm all about that. Just show me the shark and give me $10 and I'll shit all over that shark.
That's brave. Good for you.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know if I have that brave to take a dump on a shark.
Nah, I can't follow you there, man. Sharks terrify me.
And like, I don't. Would it be in the water, or would I be like hovering, and somebody's holding my hand so I don't fall into like a shark tank?
I'm picturing it as like hovering over like the feeding area of a shark tank, and the shark is just like swimming around eating his chum, and I'm just like, hey, shark.
See, I was kind of picturing it more like being held aloft by like a helicopter harness, like those ones they use to pick up wildlife with. And you're just like spread cheek dropping deuces in the water.
Kind of like that, too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to be over a safe distance so the shark doesn't bite your ass. I mean, that's the fear. You know,
let's go with Mike's idea. That sounds like more fun.
Oh, Lordy.
So, Josh, Pickman's, what's in the shop?
Oh, there is so much in the shop right now. There's the Gillman. There's a restock of the Wolfman. There's still some of those Critter Blind boxes. There's the Pale Man. There's William Birkin. I think there are still some capsules, minifigure capsules left. And as of, I think by the time this airs, they will already be in the shop. My WTF piece is coming this week. Nice. Which I know you guys have seen, so it's a lot of fun. I hope it sells well. It's only going to be like $16, because that seems to be a nice sweet spot for those small figures.
I'll be getting it. I think it's awesome.
Absolutely.
And hey, this isn't a spoiler for. I mean, it's by the time this airs, the show will already have happened. So I can just say, it is the Marvelous Manaconda, which initially I quite like Omei's idea for.
Oh, you can go ahead and spill the beans.
Might have to happen at some point. He had the great idea of having it be sort of like a blaxploitation wrestler that had essentially the King Hiss feature, but the front of his body flipped up to be a giant big snake that may or may not have been his dick.
Yeah, lives in his pants.
Partially because I realized I did not have the time to execute that, I went with a muscle style minifigure of a half snake, half wrestler kind of guy, and called him the Marvelous Manaconda. And he will, not long after his release, his rival Jimmy Six Legs is gonna show up.
Josh, it is in love that I was with my joke idea. Yours is better. Because muscle are true wrestling figures. Mine was more like a bad take on, more than anything, the T-1000 figure, the first one that came out that like,
oh yeah,
turned into a missile launcher. It was like a weird feature
with the battle butt.
Yeah, like I basically was like, how can I incorporate a dick in a guy's pants that pays homage to snake men? And like, that's the best I could come up with.
I'm sorry, but that whole phrase just seems suspect.
What are you talking about?
How can I put a guy or put a dick in a guy's pants? pay homage to Snakeman. It just sounded really funny.
It's my dick in a pants.
It's a fair question, though. How do dick in pants?
I have never figured it out. I've walked around my whole life with my dong just flopping out all over the place. It's probably why I'm so popular with everybody. They just like to see my dick. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Mike, what's coming up on Raceway Reynolds?
Well, we reimagined one of our favorite movies. Long story short, we basically took the idea of, okay, a movie's being remade. We have to play both the producers that would give absolutely awful notes that have nothing to do with the product, yeah, and the writers who then have to work within the confines that the producers set up. So imagine that that conversation that Kevin Smith has about the Superman movie, where the guy was, do we really need to make Superman fly? Does he have to have the S on his shirt? You know, can we put a giant spider in the third act? Like that type of moronic producer. So we
a very John Peters type.
Exactly. So we had a lot of fun each coming up with a couple of ideas to surprise the other one. Then we just did a random number generator and picked from each of our ideas and had to work within that story.
And that movie's Mask?
No. That I was gonna keep it hidden, but yeah, fuck it.
Keep it secret.
I will just say it is one of my all-time favorite movies, and that is not a horror film.
Three Men and a Baby. Mac and me.
Mac and me's pretty awesome. Come on now.
That scene going over with the wheelchair going over the cliff.
Oh God. I still love that long running joke with Paul Rudd with the Mac and Me clip, where he's always playing anytime he has to promote. Is it on Conan? I forget which late show it was. Yeah. Or he's like, I'm just gonna show that same clip over and over.
Paul Rudd.
So we have a new podcast from our very own reoccurring guest, Sam Grandquist. It's on YouTube and it's called Be Happy I Didn't Kill You. And she's hit the ground running, and it's a great podcast where she just has like long form conversations with guests, mm-hmm, once a week, once every other week, kind of as she gets to it. I've been on it. Mike's been on it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And she just breaks you down and you just talk. And Mike, you talked about conventions. I try to be serious, and then it devolved into is having sex with Bigfoot bestiality really quickly. Because I can't help myself.
Which, you know, I feel like is definitely the direction to go with it.
Yeah.
It's a good question. My argument in the end was, if Bigfoot can consent, it's not bestiality. But then you can also say, like, Bigfoot could rip you in half. So, like, you're not fucking Bigfoot unless he wants you to fuck him or her.
True.
It's a very strange, bizarre conversation that makes you think. But also, like we talked about, being a nerd and hiding your nerdness to get the opposite sex to pay attention to you, to avoid bullies, things like that. So it was great being on Sam's podcast. Follow her on socials or just type in Be Happy I Didn't Kill You and you'll find it. It's a great listen. We've got So It's Come to This, the Simpsons Family Podcast. You guys know what it is. I've plugged it so many times. Check it out. It's great. And Tara Mastrabich's artwork. I said it right, finally.
Holy shit.
Check it out. She's doing like cool circus tattoos right now, like oddities and things like that on her socials. I think it's fun. She's cool. Are you guys ready for show and tell?
Indeed, I don't have a lot this week.
I have more than I should.
I mean, you should be saving for a house now, right?
Yeah, but even still, I have more than I should.
What do you got? What'd you get?
Well, the other day I wandered into a Best Buy, and I stumbled onto the Puppet Master, Jester, and Six Shooter 2-pack, which I fucking love. I like was totally shocked to see it on a fucking Best Buy shelf because I haven't seen any sign of it at Target. Mm-hmm. And you know, $34.99, so retail, yay. But no, I mean, it has a lot to do with the fact that I've always fucking loved Six Shooter and Jester.
Yeah.
But no, I fucking love them. I wish Jester's head spun. I might have to do something about that. I haven't decided yet. I haven't decided if it's worth the work to make a custom spinning head. But I'm tempted to because, you know, fucking Full Moon Toys did it.
Right.
I think it's the size that they were working with. There's a lot of features. It's like, Why don't they have this? But it's like, these are really tiny, so I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really hold it against them with the scale of his head now that I have it in my hand. But I do still wish it spun. Anyway, I got that. I found the WWE Superstars Andre the Giant and Doink the Clown.
Great figures.
Oh, nice.
Man, I fucking love Andre. He might be my favorite in the whole line. I think it's just because he's huge and has removable fucking hair.
Yeah, that you can put on other figures.
Like, it's so weird and ridiculous and wonderful. Plus, the likeness is a lot better than the Adam Sandler Titus.
Yeah, I agree.
God, what else have I gotten recently? I know I got a few things. I got a few Transformers. I got the Transformers Prime styled Bumblebee, who, I gotta say, is probably one of the best modern Bumblebee figures they've done in a long time. It's just really well done. It's a lot of fun. Simple but effective transformation. Both modes are very good. Like, robot mode is really solid. Car mode is really solid. And he does. You don't feel like you're going to break your fingers transforming him.
Nice.
Also grabbed, I can't remember, I think it's Beast Wars Silver Bolt. I got it entirely on a whim. It was right when the Target 20% off Transformers sale started.
Yeah.
And I saw a new toy and I was just like, yeah, fuck it. 20% off, why not? He's weird, like, Wolf Eagle.
Yeah, it's Beast Wars. I actually know this and I can't believe it. It's when Silverbolt and the wolf combine. No, that's Tigerhawk. He's the second year where they had the combiner. He's a character.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. I do vaguely remember that, but Beast Wars is definitely out of my area of Transformers expertise.
He falls in love with Black Arachne.
But he is a super fun figure. My biggest complaint is that, Ruth pointed out something about him that I can't unsee, and she's not wrong. In robot mode, he 100% looks like a Robo Furry.
Oh, wow.
He is a Robo Furry. And I can't, he's a perfectly fun figure. They did a really good job with him. He does not feel overly complex. He doesn't feel, both modes are well articulated and don't feel ridiculous. But now all I can see is a fucking Robo Furry. Thank you, Ruth.
That sucks. He's got, like, incel speak on the cartoon. He says m'lady a lot. He's supposed to be, like, a knight.
Oh, jeez.
But it would just come off as, like, he's tipping his fedora at everybody now.
So, yeah, he's a fucking furry.
Mike, what'd you get?
Not a whole hell of a lot. I got a couple of Star Wars vintage characters. I ended up buying Yak Face. I've never had a Yak Face figure. He's cool. He was on the Amazon warehouse deals for like $8. And I was like, yeah, you know what the fuck? The only thing, he has the thigh articulation that I hate with modern Star Wars figures, where it's the ball joint that you cut, not the ball joint, but you know, like the, it's like a hinge, but you have to kind of like move and like bend and rotate it.
Yeah, you know, it's like older Marvel Legends style.
Yeah, I can't stand that. I would rather just have the T-crotch or the cut, either of those. I don't understand why they could do some, like, I have the, I think I talked about him last time, the Boba Fett figure where he's like the Tusken Raider Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I have that, and he is such a phenomenal figure. Like, the articulation is fantastic, and he has basically the G.I. Joe thighs, but he still has the upper thigh swivel that a lot of the Star Wars figures have, and it works so damn good. And I'm like, I don't understand why they don't just use that articulation on all of their vintage figures. It works fantastically, and it would fit on all of these characters, but they keep going back to that weird thigh joint. But other than that, like, he's a really fun figure, and his face cracks me up, because I've never actually had him in hand to, like, look at the way his mouth is. But his lips are just downturned, and in my head, I just hear him going, "Hey guys, I'm Yak Faith. It's him, I'm Yak Faith." Like, he's just got this silly, silly voice in my head, and I love it.
Excuse me. I believe any Star Wars fan worth his salt would correct you with his name. Did you catch that?
Because
they, at some point, they gave him the ridiculous fucking name of Salt Marie.
Yep.
It's fucking Yak Face.
And I'm gonna piss off Star Wars fans again, because I don't know this guy's name, but I bought the Cantina Band guy, the weird butthead alien.
That is either Figrin Dan or one of the Model nodes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one he's supposed to be. He just comes with a bunch of different instruments.
AKA everybody. He's a Bith alien. B-I-T-H.
Ah. See, his head kind of looks like a shaved sack, but, you know. like, if you turn it upside down, he's kind of got scrotum head. But yeah, it's just another fun figure that I saw on the Amazon warehouse for a couple of bucks. I think he was like $6.
Good old scrotum head in his mouth.
Exactly. And then the last one I got from the vintage collection on the warehouse deals was Lobot, which I had no desire to buy Lobot, but I was like, he's only like a few bucks. And what the hell? I'll get him. He cracks me up. The way his head joint is, it's that like double barbell ball joint. So you can like move his head back and forth. He looks like the guys from Night at the Roxbury. If you do that, you kind of bob his head back and forth. And it cracks me up every fucking time. But he's a really well articulated figure. And it just like, I was impressed with how like his range of motion. I'm like, for Lobot? Really? Like, he's so well made.
And the world's
biggest Davis
Jr. figure.
Lobot, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more.
But by far the best figure I got this week was I found the Turtles of Grayskull Ram Man figure. And my God, this guy is so badass. I'm really curious to see how well this translucent plastic holds up over time, but he's the same like cool purpley translucent plastic that the He-Man figure was made out of.
Yep.
But you know, he looks like a ram, like he has the ram horns, and he's so much fun. He's such a solid figure. And I keep having him and Mutant He-Man beat the shit out of each other. And it's, I can't recommend this guy enough. I did see Shredder, Beastman, and Raphael, and as much as I wanted to get Shredder and Raphael, I just couldn't justify dropping $60 on toys that day. I was like, I'm just gonna get Ram Man.
Yeah. But
really cool figure.
I want to find him. I kind of want Shredder the most, but Ram Man might win me over because of the clear plastic.
You know what it was with Shredder is he looks great, but it's just another human figure with like strap-on armor. You know, like man at arms.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's a great figure, don't get me wrong. Like, he looks really fucking cool. But Ram Man was just such a unique sculpt. I'm like, I gotta get this guy.
You got it, yeah. The clear plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have massive medical bills because I gotta pay for my tooth. So I've been like, yeah, let's not spend as much on toys. So, having said that, you curse yourself. Where you're like, I'm going to save money and not spend toys. And the minute you walk into the store, it's everything you've ever wanted.
Yep.
So I still did get some stuff before my tooth and then after my tooth because it was on clearance and the price was insane. Mm-hmm. From the Target Haul-a-thon, I got lucky and found the Prey figure, which is the clear plastic Prey Predator covered in bear's blood. And it's really fucking cool looking.
It looks awesome. I haven't seen it in person, but the pictures just, it looks rad.
Yeah. Good luck getting it online because that shit sells out immediately. And in stores, it's just sort of hit or miss if you see it.
Mm-hmm.
I got some new Legends stuff that was the new Spider-Man figures. So it's like Jack-O-Lantern, Spider-Shot. Nothing really worth talking about. I finally completed my 2012 Ninja Turtles. Nice. The last figure I needed was Dire Beaver, and I got him. I'm all set. I'm missing some turtle variants.
Did you?
I don't need every fucking Leonardo and Raphael. Like, I just wanted. So, like, that's the shit that I'm missing now. If I see it at garage sales, I'll pick it up.
No.
What?
But did you finish your 2012 collection?
Do you make it? I hate you, Josh. It's complete enough. I've moved on.
So if someone does a Savanti Romero, you're gonna get it.
Yeah, or like a zombie Shredder.
Exactly.
Buy it. Yeah, they're focused on other stuff right now, so I'm not holding my breath. They got finished the Monster Squad, Josh. Don't leave me hanging.
No, never. I gotta rock until I drop.
Yeah. that was thinly veiled and stupid. I got my first. I decided that I'm gonna get a loose collection of the glow in the dark Remco figures that I'm always talking about because the Mummy and the Wolfman are next to impossible to find, and when they do pop up, they don't go for less than $2,000 carded.
Oh Jesus!
And there are two different versions of the card back, and I want the harder to find. So if you go to the stores and look at the NECA recreations, the figure bubble behind the action figure, there's a green splash to represent glow in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I want the cards that have that specifically on it because it fits the motif of all the other glow in the dark homage cards that like Super Seven's done. And those two in particular, the Mummy and the Wolfman, were like the second half of the release of the glow in the dark figures, and they're super fucking expensive. So I was like, you know what? Forget it. I can't do this carded. It's too expensive. Loose is fine. They show up loose all over the place, but a good mint on card version, forget about it. So I got Frankenstein. The next easiest one is probably going to be Glow in the Dark Creature and Mummy. But then Dracula, Phantom of the Opera, and Wolfman. It's hard to find them where they don't have nose paint damage.
Yeah, so
it's just a waiting game of that figure to finally show up. And I have no problem with recreation vinyl capes. So I'm going to do that so they have a fresh vinyl cape when I find them. So it's just going to be a waiting game until like a good one pops up that doesn't have the black smudge on their nose from the paint chipping off.
Man, it's with so many fucking Star Wars figures, too.
It sucks. I fucking hate it. Like a lot of Lukes and Emperors have that problem.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy. The big purchase I got this week, though, was the newer Star Wars guys that were part of Walmart's big Easter toy section. So, like, Mandalorian, Luke, Vader, Ahsoka, Baby Yoda, Stormtrooper. Some of those have gone on clearance, just specific characters at certain Walmarts. So, I found Mandalorian, which was on Amazon. He was cheaper everywhere. He's like the gateway figure. and he's $5, which is great because he's a great figure. But I picked up Luke, Baby Yoda, and Ahsoka for $3 each, and they're all solid toys. For that price, they're like classic 90s Kenner Star Wars figures, and I have zero complaints. Baby Yoda, like, you think you're not getting a lot, but he comes with the backpack, he comes with his pod, and he fits on Luke's back. He's pretty fun. Luke is just Luke. You know, you get, you know exactly what you're getting. And Ahsoka's got two lightsabers, and she's cool. 5 points of articulation. Mike already told you what you're getting with Mando. They're a lot of fun. And Mandalorian has, like, ports for weapons from the deluxe figures. They can kind of snap on them if you get them. So you can kind of, like, part swap. It's fun.
I would like to... This is... I'm only mentioning this because it's Star Wars related. So, earlier today, I had the car for the morning. And I stopped into a local... there's a local toy store called Holocron.
Yeah.
There's one here. I believe there's one, I think, in Dallas. But it's like two locations, obviously. It is a new and used Star Wars toy store. And they... You know, to be fair, I will say they do have a very wide selection of both modern and vintage, and most of the prices are pretty good. And if they're not, they hold sales pretty often. That being said, now, this is a great example of if you run a toy store, what not to say to a customer. Because I have been in there twice now, hoping that maybe I can find either the vintage collection or retro collection, Cad Bane.
Yeah.
Both times they have none. And both times, and you know, they have everyone else from the damn wave except Cad Bane for both lines. Mm-hmm. And both times I go up, I'm like, hey, I just want to make sure, you know, just in case I'm missing him. I don't suppose you've got any retro collection or vintage collection Cad Bane, do you? And both times they've given the same answer, which drives me crazy anytime I'm in a toy store. It's, no, we've never gotten that one in. Have you tried eBay?
No.
And
that's the wrong answer.
I point blank looked at the woman today and I was like, no, I haven't, because I refuse to pay scalper prices. And she was just like, oh yeah, that's fair enough. And it's so like...
Clearly doesn't know what she's doing.
Well, I mean, she is one of many employees.
Okay.
But the other employee that I talked to the last time I was in there gave me the exact same goddamn answer of, no, we've never gotten that one in. Have you tried eBay? And it's like, motherfucker, you are running a store specific to Star Wars toys. And you're telling me to look on eBay for Cad Bane? You've got fucking Dr. Aphra for $20. And you're telling me to check eBay for Cad... You can't get in a Cad Bane? The fuck good are you? To be fair, they are a very good store with very good prices. It's just frustrating to go into any specialized toy store and be told, have you checked eBay?
Right.
Don't do that.
Don't do that, toy store owners. Don't do
Shame.
That.
Shame. You know what else you shouldn't do? Go on Omegle. Have you guys ever heard of Omegle?
I have. I've never gone on, though.
Same. So,
listen. A reoccurring person on the show has kind of...
You know what, Chief? I think I can handle it from here. Hold on. Are we all here? Are we all here? I think it's time we hold an intervention. Now,
this is Head of Human Resources here at Count Creepyhead. Scooter. Thank you, Scooter.
Hi, Chief. What's up?
We need to have a talk with Kermit.
Yep, he's on his way in along with the rest of the gang.
Let's do it. Get him in here.
Well, hi, every. Well, what's everybody doing here?
Okay, Chief. So you might have been brought here under slightly false pretenses, but there's something we need to talk to you about. Miss Piggy, would you like to start?
Kermie, you have to understand how it makes moi feel when you go onto the internet and you show your little Kermie to other people.
Well, you know what, Piggy? You've got to understand how it makes me feel when I get home from a long day and I've got to slap my flycatcher on some cold bacon. That sure as hell doesn't make me throw my arms up in the air and say, yay, that's for sure.
Well, Kermie, we're just trying to have a conversation with you.
Well, I understand. I'm trying to get my frog off.
Okay, Chief. Well, why don't we move on to Professor Bunsen?
You know, Mr. the Frog, here at Muppet Labs, we've come up with something that might be able to help you. You see, it's the pill that gives you an immediate aversion to showing your penis on the internet. And I have my assistant, Beaky, here to demonstrate. Now, Beaky, would you mind just ingesting this small pill? Oh, dear. It seems to have had the complete opposite reaction, and now Beaky can't stop showing all of us. Yes, Beaky, you can put it away. Yes, Beaky.
Oh, good grief.
Yes, Beaky, you can... Yes, Beaky. I think we'd better pick this up a bit later, guys. Yes, Beaky, you can put... Yes, Beaky, put it away.
Dude, I was biting my face so damn hard trying not to laugh at that.
I don't know why, but I picture Beaker like Red Rocket. Coming out of a slit in his torso. Just being gross and slimy.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we got complaints because, you know, Kermit just shows his big green frog dick to everybody on the internet. And some of them have questionable ages, and I've gotten a lot of complaints. You know, it's like, oh, look, it's a conversation of Kermit with some girls. And then, boom, he whips his giant dick out and he thinks it's hilarious. And it's like he represents the show now. It's a whole fucking thing. So, you know, I hate to do this human resources dirty laundry on the air, but sometimes you got to make an example. So you know, it is what it is. You guys ready for the news?
Oh, indeed.
Got a lot because it's 2 weeks worth. Dropping today was the trailer for Wolverine Deadpool. Have you guys watched it?
I have, and I am fucking excited.
Yeah, same.
I have never heard the word fucking so many times in a trailer. I'm so happy that Marvel Studios is just like, okay, we're going to do this.
Yep.
And doing it right. So
give me that silky smooth Ryan Reynolds dick on Hugh Jackman's face.
Yes. I was just dying in the trailer with Wolverine punching Ryan Reynolds Deadpool in the balls with his claws.
Yep.
Which I'm glad that we get that scene. I'm glad that they went there, and good on them. I'm excited. I can't fucking wait for this movie. Other news,
laughed a little too hard at the claw whiskey dick.
Yes, oh, yeah. Me too.
That was really funny.
The cocaine thing had me cracking up too.
Yeah.
Mikey said that's the one thing we can't do. This is like Bolivian marching powder. They know the names. They have a list. That cracked me the hell up.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. It's just Deadpool in a wig. It's ridiculous. As previously discussed on the last episode, the WWE Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle mashup figures, they're going to be Target exclusive because I know everybody's really excited about that, and they got to have them. Due to the success and the Oscar from Godzilla, which I still can't believe that happened, and the huge success of Godzilla X Kong, they are going to be doing more Godzilla TV shows. Another season of the Kurt Russell show, Monarch, and other spinoff shows, whatever that means. Gimme all the Godzilla and King Kong you want. I'm very excited for that. There is a designer liquid mutagen Raphael toy coming out that's like $180, and it's just Raphael with some like slime splats on him. And I really don't get how they justify the price or consider that art, quote unquote. Like, this is kind of stretching it for me for like a designer to like zero effort went into it. Movie Maniacs, the Matrix figures are coming out. And if you look closely, they don't have any likeness rights, as you would expect. So it's a guy who could be Keanu Reeves' stunt double doing a pose. And it's not Carrie Ann Moss, it's Gary Ann Moss. Woo. I saw today the Music Maniacs Alice Cooper figure, and it actually looks really cool, and it looks like Alice Cooper.
I'm sorry, but what fucking year are we in?
I know.
Right. Like, why don't they try to get the likeness rights? I'm very confused on like who's buying these.
I don't know. It's Todd. Nothing makes fucking sense. Like, he gets the idea, like, I'm going to do this property. You get excited, and he puts zero fucking effort into it. Yep. And then you're like, I don't want it. And, like, nobody...
Buy two!
Yeah, and it's The Matrix, which isn't really a fucking thing anymore.
But apparently they're making fucking more.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another movie coming out.
Stop it. Fuck. Like, I
watched the last one.
I grew out of that shit. It's enough. Leave it alone.
I thought the last one was crap.
Yeah. Holothon, both weeks it's been on Target.com. Both weeks, almost everything sold out immediately. So if you want a Ninja Turtle stuff, good luck finding it in the stores. There is a new Transformers animated movie called Transformers 1 coming to theaters. I wasn't sold on it until Mike made the connection for me between He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, the animated Netflix He-Man, and this movie, and I kind of get it now. Mm-hmm. It seems fun. What do you guys think?
I think the toys look kind of cool. I'm excited about those. After watching the trailer, like, I don't feel like it's a Transformers that is aimed at us, like aimed at our generation. But I still think it looks like a lot of fun. Like, I feel that it reminds me of like I said, the CGI He-Man or the like Mutant Mayhem, where it's like, yeah, it's enough of what we know and love, but it's obviously meant for a younger generation trying to like get that next generation into Transformers.
Which, give me that Keegan-Michael Key Bumblebee.
Yeah,
that I'm excited about. Yeah,
I'll probably check it out when it comes to streaming. I don't think I'm gonna be going to the theaters to see it unless somebody's like, it's the best thing I've ever seen. Something I probably will go to the theaters to see though is the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie that's in the works.
That
I will be there with a boner waiting for that to happen. It's something since I was a kid I've wanted to see.
I hope they give me a popcorn bucket to fuck for that one.
Yes, please. The new trend of fuckable popcorn buckets for every movie.
I'm really curious if they're actually going to be doing something with Deadpool 3, because there's a lot of jokes about that, and I'm like, man, that I can only imagine what kind of crazy popcorn bucket they would do for that.
Yeah, it's hard to know where the AI starts and stops with that shit.
Yeah,
there's something coming. I think probably Headpool, because he's great in the movie. Maybe, I don't know, or maybe I don't like buy popcorn buckets, they're too big. I lost my place in my notes. There's also a live-action Last Ronin coming. Okay. Everybody's excited about Last Ronin. I think this story with some tweaking would be really, really good in the right hands. So I hope
I missed that information.
Yeah, it got announced. There's like a video game. There's a lot of shit Last Ronin that's in the works.
Yeah.
The coming to Target, this, what's happening is on these online stores, they ordered a lot less products, so they sell out super quick. Tiger Force Wreckage, which was a Tiger Force repaint of Firefly, that was originally supposed to come out, never got released, is coming out now, in the main line, and he comes with the Cobra ATV that was part of Tiger Force. So it comes with Wreckage, which is the repaint of Firefly. He's like brown, and he's got a tiger mask. He's cool looking, and he's got the generic Steel Brigade head. If you're into the G.I. Joe stuff, I might be passing on this one.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was one of the Brazilian repaints originally. Yeah.
Yes. He's like the Outback, where he was in an American release. He's harder to find. Thank you for correcting me on that.
I'm Outback.
You are an Outback. Marvel Legends on Hasbro Pulse had a classic Giant Man and Wasp to go with the upcoming Giant Man figure for those people who like Marvel Legends. Again, there's not enough meat on the bone for me to get excited about this, but it's cool if you want a regular scale Giant Man and classic first appearance Wasp. Mick Farland is making Zaz, who is the guy that does check marks on his body every time he kills somebody.
And it's fucking weird looking.
Yeah. It's a comic appearance. Like, all of his toys are usually a specific comic appearance of this character. This is a weird, specific comic appearance of Zaz. There is a new Mighty Maniacs Kickstarter that is fully funded, so there's going to be some new Mighty Maniacs coming out. It is a Barbarian, a Lizard Man, and a Genie.
And just so I can swear for the positive, it looks fucking awesome.
It does. They're cool looking. And there's like some unlockables that they're going to reach for now. It's pretty cool. I think Mighty Maniacs is a good company. I already mentioned Transformers 1. There is a new Superior Spider-Man figure coming out with articulated, bendable metal spider tentacle tendril things.
There's a
new Iron Fist coming out with improved articulation, and he comes in a two-pack with modern Luke Cage. There is a Danny Keach Ghost Rider, which is 90s Ghost Rider. If you can think of the Toy Biz Ghost Rider toys, that's Danny Keach. There is a Warbird figure, which is the code name for Miss Marvel in her classic look with the black unitard and the lightning bolt on her chest. There is going to be a Marvel Legends Scar, Son of Hulk. There is going to be a...
It's not PC to call her that.
Warbird or Scar?
Unitard.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
It took me a minute. I was like, what are you talking about?
One Piece bathing suit.
I think that's better. I think that's what they prefer to be called these days.
We're getting an Astonishing X-Men Wolverine who looks really cool. And there are two TV shows we need to talk about. What do you guys want to talk about first? X-Men 97 or Fallout?
Take your pick.
I still have two episodes left of Fallout, so I have not finished it.
One episode left of X-Men.
All right, let's briefly touch upon both. Fallout, I have yet to play the games, but it is an amazing fucking show. Oh, it's so funny as fuck, and Walter Goggins is the man. Walton Goggins.
Okay, Mike, you'll be able to appreciate this. Because I have played... the first game a long, long time ago, and one of the other games. I honestly do not remember what one it was. I think it was 3. It was either 3 or New Vegas. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been so long. But that being said, there was a certain point where we're watching, and Ruth has not watched all of it with me, but she's watched a good chunk. Mm-hmm. And she looks at me at one point and she's like, I don't know what it is, but I'm not sure I trust these vaults. And yeah, that was pretty much my reaction to it.
That is one thing I am greatly enjoying as a fan of the games. Because I had been talking to a lot of people at work about it, and like, I'm not saying shit, like I'm no spoilers, but like, they all have the same thing, like, so... there's something wrong. Like, is it just me, or is there's like something up with these vaults? And I'm like, I don't want to say nothing, because they got it so fucking right. It's so good. Oh, I love it.
Do either of you guys know Walton Goggins, the Ghoul?
Mm-hmm.
Something that I've always thought and I've never Googled. Maybe one of you guys have. Are his teeth for real? He's got these big fucking teeth.
I actually have no idea, but that's a good question.
I have no idea.
He's got like, yeah, it's just, but they're big to the point where it's like, I think he just has naturally big fucking teeth.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the highlight of the show. I mean, like, all the lead characters are highlights of the show. It's just fun. Yeah. It's
one thing, I'm sure I mentioned this to you guys, but like for the listeners, like, one of the things that is absolutely amazing about the three different main characters is each one represents a style in which you can play the game. Because now the game gives you the option to basically do whatever the hell you want. Do you want to be, you know, like Jesus of the wasteland and be nothing but good? Do you want to be a dick and, you know, kill people and steal? Or do you want to just kind of be neutral and kind of look out for yourself and don't help anybody that you come across? And each one of the main characters represents that play style where you have, you know, Lucy being the good character, you have the ghoul being the bad character, and Maximus kind of being the neutral character. And I was blown away by that. Like, I couldn't believe how much they leaned into that aspect from the game and told three very interesting stories with those characters. So I cannot wait for season two. Like, I'm not going to ruin anything, but there's some hints in the final couple of episodes of where they might be going. And I'm all in. Like, I am so in for what they have planned.
Let me say this about Fallout, and it's not a spoiler or anything. If you like the concept of, like, the apocalypse and, you know, Doomsday and, like, The Walking Dead, but you don't like how depressing that shit is, Fallout makes it fun.
Yep.
So if you like that steampunk world made out of garbage, full of monsters, Fallout takes that and makes it enjoyable so you don't feel depressed and like you need a shower because somebody killed a kid.
Right.
Like you get with Walking Dead.
Even though in the game you absolutely can do horrible things to children.
That's why I want to play. I want a game where you can just kick babies all day.
There's this doesn't ruin anything, but there's a scene in part four, a random encounter that you can come across where you find a nuked fridge. They actually make fun of the nuked fridge a couple of times in the series. But there's a nuked fridge and you hear someone inside like calling out for help, and you eventually break the lock open and it's a small ghoul child. So it's basically been someone that got ghoulified, and been trapped in a fridge for many, 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 many years. Now you can do two things. You can help him, or you can immediately turn around and sell him to horrible people.
I would walk him back to Punky Brewster's house. Dawn, I know you're not going to listen to that.
But no, I cracked the hell up when I was like, wow, they just really let you be evil in this if you want to be.
And there's no consequences?
I mean, there's karmatic consequences. Because again, like every action you take in the game has a reaction. So it's like, if you, depending on who you side with, what you do, there were workarounds. Like in part three, you could be as much of a dick as you wanted to be. And then there was like this one homeless guy that lived outside of, I forget the name of the settlement, but he was always asking for water. And every time you gave him fresh water, your karma would go up. So you could basically be a horrible, evil person and then just go give this dude a bunch of water and be fine. Consequences
like,
of your actions.
Like Catholicism.
Exactly.
Okay. Now that Fallout's out of the way. Oh, baby. X-Men 97.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
You guys haven't watched, or Mike hasn't watched the latest episode. Yes. There's not a lot to talk about in that episode as compared to the one before it. So if you haven't watched X-Men 97 yet, fast forward like 5 minutes.
And I will agree with what you said. It's the latest episode is good, but it is a necessary breather after five.
Yeah.
Five was intense, man. That was tough.
So if you haven't watched it yet, and you want to know the spoilers, it's a take on an Astonishing X-Men story arc where Professor Xavier's evil twin sister kills a bunch of people on Genosha.
Yep.
And this is their twist on it. I don't know how it's going to play out. It's also, if you look closely, it's a what-if episode because the Watcher pops up. and there are some time travel shenanigans, but basically a giant kaiju-sized sentinel shows up to Genosha as Gambit just got his heart ripped out from Rogue, who has chosen to hook up with Magneto because he can touch her. And a bunch of great fan favorite characters die. Magneto dies. Nightcrawler probably dies. Gambit kills himself to save the day. It's just a heart punch.
Yes.
But holy fuck, is it the greatest 30 minutes of animated superhero television ever.
I will say I was not in the right headspace for that episode, so that it hit me hard. But God, bravo to that fucking team that's making that show, because they simultaneously captured the feel of the 90s X-Men while it feels like they aged it up with the audience. And that's hard to do. That's really hard to do, and they did it masterfully.
Yeah. I can't say it better. They made it, everything is just better to the point where it's like, this is the same, but it's a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And we know our audience got older.
Yeah.
And it's fucking great. And they kept the same story. Everything, it's like, you're not meeting these characters for the first time. You're meeting them for the second or the third time. And they're not talking to you like you're an idiot, but they're giving you just enough information on these characters where you're like, I don't know who that is. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking amazing. And if this doesn't make you want to buy X-Men action figures.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with you.
I've been going down a deep dive of all the old, like, Toy Biz X-Men characters from the 90s, and I'm like, oh man, these are such good toys.
Yeah, I've been, thankfully I have a lot of these guys already, so I'm not like super jones to have them. Mm-hmm. But like, god, do I want some of these like obscure X-Men background characters like Glob.
Mm-hmm.
Who visually I always thought was a cool character, but now he's been on the show.
Yep.
And I want a toy like yesterday, please.
I do have to say, one of my favorite X-Men toys from back then that was, you know, I feel like he wasn't a character that got a lot of love in the 90s, but Forge. I loved that toy.
Yeah, and he's like an integral part of this new show.
Yep.
Which is great. Like, Forge, I never could wrap my head around him until I read him in the comics, and I was like, okay, I get it. He's cool. And the show does him justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's, god damn it, watch X-Men 97. I
was gonna say, with that toy, one of my favorite things about it is, like, we've discussed this before, where sometimes action features can kind of ruin the aesthetic of a figure, but his action feature was so simple yet so fucking fun. He had that quick draw feature where you could put his gun in the holster and then like squeeze his legs and he'd pull his gun out real fast. It was just such a fun toy.
The only thing about Forge that I've never understood, he's got a robot leg. That's kind of his catch, right? Mm-hmm. He's part robot. He's wearing pants, but he leaves the robot part exposed. Like, I get it, so, like, visually, you know he has a robot leg, but why doesn't he just pull his pant leg down?
I know, right?
I get it, Forge. It's cool looking, but all right, that's enough.
Like, I made my leg. Look at it.
Yeah, weird. I know, like, everybody keeps clamoring for a new Spider-Man 97, but the Spider-Man cartoon storyline was so fucking convoluted by the end that I think they need to start over on that. Not like X-Men 97. Or I think they should keep X-Men 97 like the animated backbone and keep spinning off into other stuff. I'm sure they're just plans upon plans, and I'm not going to doubt their judgment after this. Like, they know what they're doing.
I'm just going to say this. I don't really think we need an X or a Spider-Man 97. I really enjoy Spider-Man, but I don't think it's necessary.
Well, there's a new show coming out anyways that's already done, like, 2 seasons worth of animation.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of got like a 50s, 60s aesthetic to it. It looks pretty cool. So that's the Spider-Man show they're going with. I'll, whatever, man. It's just, superhero cartoon on Disney. If I got the time, I'm going to watch it. Right. Give it to me. Give me more, more, more. Yeah. So Kermit, is he still sitting there with his pants around his ankles?
Excuse me. I don't understand why I have to go with this fucking shit.
I know, Chief. You said you'd sit long enough to hear us out. And I think you have to hear from, well, one of your best friends, Chief.
Kermit! You know, it doesn't look good for any of us. Any of us. When we all have to look at that.
Well, you know, Fozzie, it doesn't do any of us good when we have to listen to your fucking jokes, does it?
You know, Kermit, I just don't think this is a very good look for us. You know, you have to think of us as a group as a whole.
Well, you know, I also don't think it looks very good that you fuck chickens, but you make a whole routine out of it, don't you?
Kermit, you don't. You just, I don't think it's appropriate.
I would like to chime in, please. I have waited long enough.
Yeah, go ahead, Werner.
I think your penis is magnificent, and I rejoice every time that I am able to see it on Omegle. I regret that the fact that he shows it to everyone is likely my fault, as I was the one requesting it.
I mean, that is true. He did kind of get me hooked on it. But, you know, not in a way that's, like, sexual, just, like, in a way that's, like, hey, here's my dick. You know, kind of like art.
Your penis is indeed art, Mr. the Frog.
Well, I guess that's resolved.
It's indeed resolved. We shall now all go get milkshakes.
Yay!
Oh my god!
So if you haven't seen it and you haven't looked for it, there's tons of videos of people on Omegle, which I guess is like a defunct service where you just randomly video chat with people. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly like 20-somethings trying to hook up and like shake their genitals at each other. And it's just tons and tons of videos of Kermit the Frog meeting people, and they get excited, and then he shows his giant green dick at them.
It's basically the other version of chat roulette.
Yeah. And his green dick is usually like a cucumber or a zucchini. And you get their hilarious reactions, which never gets old. So, Kermit, if you could just do us a favor and, you know, verify their ages before you shake your junk at them, that would be great. Guys, so this is probably a conversation that one of our listeners really wants us to have, but I want to know your opinions. This is kind of a conversation in the vein of, is it bestiality if you have sex with Bigfoot? But
no.
You guys know that there is a two-headed girl that's out there. She's a Siamese twin where essentially they have one body, two heads, as far as I know. Maybe there's three boobs. I don't know. And one of them got married, not the other one.
Yep.
But she went online and did like an Ask Me Anything something. And she was very graphic in saying that, like, yes, me and my husband fuck. And yes, I blow him. But my sister has headphones on or something while this happens, so she doesn't have to partake. I have so many fucking questions that I hope we can answer by tiptoeing around it and not being offensive to the twins. They're two people, one body. Mm-hmm. A yin and yang, if you will. Do you think, statistically, let's not talk about them. Let's talk about their husband, who if I ever met in real life, I'd high-five him. Do you think he is the first person to have slept with a two-headed woman?
I mean,
not like a Siamese twin where they're like they're sharing, yeah, like they're conjoined at the hip. I mean, like legit too bad here.
Well, I'm just too bad. Oh my god. I mean, considering the nature of freak shows in the past, I'm going to say no, that he's not the first person. Because, you know, those people weren't treated that well back then. So I imagine there were people taking advantage. But it's still a whole lot of question of, like, how does all of this work?
Like, I know, like, within the freak show community, they were paid very well and they were very insular. So I know a lot of, like, the Dow man, like the dwarf, was married to the bearded lady, and they lived very normal lives and they had lots of kids. And, like, Lobster Boy married, which this I'm ripping off Freak Show, the two-headed woman.
Right.
But I've never seen instances of anybody with two heads being alive like they are.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere. And I've spent lots of time just looking at these kind of pictures out of morbid curiosity. So, like, I think the chances that somebody has had sex with a two-headed woman is very, 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 very slim. Very. And then to top all that off, getting a blowjob from a two-headed woman, even slimmer. Right?
I mean, sure, why not?
Now, here's the other very wrong question. If I'm offending you, text me and I'll make it right. The other one has to participate, right?
I mean, I would imagine, like, how do you tune out when it's happening right there?
How, like, if there's a head a quarter of a foot next to you with a dick in its mouth, how do you not just be like, okay, fine? Because I know this. This guy, he's had to have asked at least once.
Right? I mean, I would imagine.
I would have.
Oh, Lord.
But, you know, because is that a threesome? Is that a 2.5-some? You know? How do you count it?
Oh, my God. Oh, that's fucking funny.
Do you stick your dick between their heads and, like, bing bong between them? Ding, ding, like a ping ball machine. Ding, 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 ding. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
But, like, no, all right.
The fact that they share reproductive organs,
they're feeling it. So
you
can't ignore that.
Right.
You can't tune that out. You have to be either enjoying it or hating it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing if your other half is getting off on it, you have to be too.
I mean,
so if your Siamese twin has an orgasm, you're going to feel it, whether you like it or not.
I can't wrap my brain around this.
There's so many questions. And, like, what if the other head gets a husband? Right?
Does that work?
So then the guy who's married, he's going to have to share. He has to come to terms with that. And at that point, you just say, like, I'm married to a two-headed woman. All the rules are out the window. Let's just have a foursome. You know, and save everybody's time.
I don't know.
There's so many questions. I literally, like, I would love to just not have any shame and ask them in person. But I know if I ran into him in person, I would clam up and just be like, oh, nice to meet you.
Right.
You know, instead of just, like, asking the probing questions about their sex life.
Not being like Brody when he met Stan Lee.
Yeah. Because it's just, what do you... Oh, gee, that's your... High five, dude. High five. You did it. Awesome job.
Oh, Lordy.
Like, there's a good chance he's the only person in existence that has done this.
Yeah.
This is true.
In all reality, being born like that and surviving is something that was very slim up until recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, very good chance he's the first man on the moon, so to speak.
Right.
High five. Or vice versa, has there been a two-headed man that slept with a woman? Dun, dun, dun. And, like, were they waiting to meet another two-headed person?
Oh, that's gotta be weird.
Yeah, like, how do you, like, what if you like the other head and it doesn't line up right when you try to make out. You know? So you have to like, no, you step to the side so I can kiss Joe, who's the right head, and I'm the left head. It doesn't like line up correctly because I hate Mark. I'm just saying. There's so many fucking questions. I kept me up at night. I was like, the thing, and so many. Oh, how? Oh, like, if you haven't figured this out yet, I'm a moron. And I spend way too much time thinking about this kind of shit. I really should be like just happy that they're happy and good for them. But I'm also very, very curious about their personal lives. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of people having those same questions because I've seen people on social media make the comments of like, how does this work? You know, like, how do you tune that out, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, hey, if they made it work, awesome.
Like, so many questions. Just, or what if the other head gets jealous? So she like starts dating like guy who's like gross. All right, I can't.
Wait,
I
can... didn't Tales from the Crypt do an episode about that?
I think they did.
Yeah.
I could just go on forever and just take this off a cliff to the point where you want to like set the podcast on fire. Good for them. If they're happy, he's happy. Who am I to yuck their yum?
Indeed.
You know, in all reality, a two-headed woman's probably easier on the eyes to look at than I am undressed. So who am I to first to make jokes? Just saying.
Oh, Lord.
Because I look like a Wookiee with mange. She's
a Wookiee with mange. That's fantastic.
She's a lovely young woman who is getting to enjoy her body. Good for you. Joke's over. Don't look at me naked. You'll regret it. I'm just saying. If you've seen like Emil in RoboCop where he's walking out of the toxic vat, that's like me when I get out of the shower. If you can just imagine me walking into a bedroom like, love me. There you go.
So like Timmy but with bones?
Right. A few. Timmy, if he rolled around in a bucket. Yeah, you know, like if he rolled around like behind a KFC and found something. There you go.
Oh, God. And I'm just picturing Timmy propping himself up with chicken bones, and it's laughing, it's making me laugh.
It wouldn't look right. Are you guys ready for the Hall of Fame?
Indubitably.
Mike.
I think so.
And I'm one.
Oh, shit.
Everybody loves classic Star Wars, man. It's like He-Man, it always wins.
You well, pick? Yeah, I don't know if he's won before. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but Junkyard from the Toxic Crusaders, has he won?
He's been on our list. Let me check very slowly.
I've been on a Toxic Crusaders kick lately. Like, I've been looking back at those toys, kind of. I think it's because the Trick or Treat Studios Toxic Crusader of Toxie. I'm like, I kind of want that.
It's, yeah, I know. I'm running out of space for stuff, but I saw that too, and I was like, that looks really nice. Junkyard, not to be confused with G.I. Joe Junkyard. Let's see here. Apparently, he's never even been nominated, Mike.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. I could have swore we nominated him, so okay, then Junkyard.
Let me see if I did J-U-N-K space Y-A-R-D. Which would not be beyond the realm of reason for my spelling. No. No Junkyard.
Alrighty, well, that is my pick.
It's going to be hard to beat. Josh, you got a pick or you want me to go?
Okay, so you go because I'm looking something up.
This isn't going to win, but it's just been my feeling lately. I want Plato's Dr. Drill and Fill.
Is that the dentist one?
Yeah, where you can mangle and remove somebody's teeth.
I forgot about that. That was a fun playset.
Because that's what it feels like when I go to the dentist, a.k.a. the butcher shop. Those horrible monsters that just do nothing but cause pain. I do not like it there, and they do not have a sense of humor. They don't hold my hands. They don't give me stuffed animals. And no matter how many times I ask them, they won't put, like, Highlight Magazine picture searches or Where's Waldo on the ceiling, so I have something to distract myself while they're drilling my teeth.
Those bad
so,
guys.
Fuck them. Dr. Drill and Phil is my pick. Josh?
Okay, so I was going to ask if you would, if my pick was acceptable, but considering Dr. Drill and Phil, I kind of feel like it's weirdly in the same realm. What I was looking up was a potential backup.
Okay.
I don't remember the actual name of this. Someone will have to chime in for me. But I believe it is the Terminator Flesh Factory. Where you can take an endoskeleton and make a naked Arnold.
The Bio Flesh Regenerator, I believe?
Yes. I also believe that we have nominated that before, or we've talked about it.
I know we've talked about it.
Yeah, it's the BioFlesh Regenerator. Thanks, Mike.
Because, well, there. See, what I'm thinking of is there. I know there are three different variations. There's that one. There's the Wolverine one where you, like, make the skeleton out of the weird gel. And then there was also a Doctor Who one that was called the Flesh Factory from an episode where they're making flesh creatures.
Mike, you've played with this before. I know I've asked you, and you said it sucked.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan personally, just because it's like very hard to like not get air bubbles in there. I mean, it's much like I'm sure Josh could tell us all about actually making toys with resin.
Oh no! I'm not nominating it because it was a good toy necessarily, but I feel like it deserves a spot in the Hall of Fame because while the toy itself wasn't necessarily solid in its execution, the concept behind it was fucking brilliant.
Can you believe this shit? So I'm just looking at pictures right now. Somebody had a can of the BioFlesh Regenerator refill skin graded. A sealed can. They will grade anything.
Well, see, and that's my problem with those types of toys in general. And clearly this is a play pattern that should be nominated, like you said, Josh, because it's shown up in so many toy lines over the years. And it is one of those, you know, just reoccurring play patterns we see toy companies return to. But the thing I always had a problem with these toys, because you're eventually going to run out of the stuff to play with the toy.
Yep.
And like that was always why I never got them, was because I'm like, I'll run out. And then what do I do? It was the same thing I had mentioned with the original Cyclops figure from Toy Biz, the one wearing the X-Factor outfit, because he didn't have a removable battery pack. Like, you couldn't remove it. Once the battery ran out, it ran out. And that was it. And then eventually, subsequent releases, they gave they put the screw in his back and let you actually have access to the hatch so you could change out the batteries. But that very first release, it was just solid plastic. You'd have to break the figure open to get to the battery pack. So I hated toys that were like, this is just temporary. You can't play with it for too long.
Why wasn't it just flesh-colored fucking Play-Doh? I get the gimmick of you need to watch it go through the tubes and everything, but that would be reusable.
Yeah.
Or Silly Putty.
Yeah.
It was because they wanted you to keep buying the packs.
Oh, no, exactly.
That's what killed the toy for me. It was like, I can do this like two or three times and I'm shit out of luck. It was the same thing with the Mad Scientist Monster Lab, where you could melt it in the acid. It was
The Monster Lab, I didn't have, you know, once that was gone, there was nothing that you could really melt the same way. But with the Terminator one, I totally had that. And yeah, once I ran out of what was in the initial box, I just used fucking Play-Doh.
Yeah. It,
right.
Blah. Those Terminator toys, they're classic, but they miss the ball. which they could have been so much better. I think the toys got rushed before the movie was done. That's why, like, the Liquid Terminator doesn't look right. And,
right.
Well, it's like, you know, that I feel like that playset is a great representation of a lot of ideas for the line. It's a great concept.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it ends. The execution leaves a lot to be desired.
Well, and I will say with the Terminator toys, and I know this is still prevalent today, but a lot of the film tie-in toys, like, you know, you only get the early design concepts that they give to the toy company to work from, especially in a movie that they're keeping really under wraps. And I know James Cameron was super protective about T2. There's that great story. I always forget her name, but the director of Nightmare on Elm Street 6, Freddy's Dead, where they accidentally got some test footage from T2 when they were working with the 3D cameras, and they were like, you know, James Cameron would have killed us all, but, you know, she's like, I want to put it in the movie, just joking around. But yeah, like, he was super protective of the design, so I'm sure that they didn't get a lot of information on the T-1000 before making the toy.
While we're on the topic, hear me out. It always drove me nuts that they, the subsequent Terminator sequels, they were trying to one-up the concept of the T-1000, and they could never do it.
Agreed.
Which, to me, I always thought the next step, instead of being like a, you know, a crazier liquid metal thing, would be a Terminator that can make copies of itself.
Right, which they kind of, well, they didn't do that sorta. Exactly.
But like
in Dark Fate, they had the liquid Terminator with the solid endoskeleton, so it could kind of split into two pieces and both could fight independently, which was cool.
Yeah. But I always just thought it was like, how about, you know, like 1,000 Robert Patricks? I don't know.
Like a Master Mold Terminator?
Yeah. Or just stop making sequels.
I'm one of those weirdos that actually enjoys the entire Terminator franchise. I think the Salvation is the most boring entry, which is a shame because it sounds like it should be the coolest entry. And Genesis, the absolute end, kind of ruins it for me. But overall, I have fun with that whole franchise.
Thanks for listening. This is Mike saying play with your toys and don't buy flesh refills.
This is Mike saying get your flesh refill graded.
This is Kermit the Frog saying get on Omegle and check out my flesh refill.
All right,
this is Josh saying don't listen to Kermit.
All right. Mike, Josh, Mike.
Josh.
All right. I will see you guys in a week when we're going to do something fun with the Ninja Turtles. I will see everybody later. Bye.
Bye.
Skibbity-doo.
Count Creepy. .com on the World Wide Web. Must I say it again? Did you not listen? Count Creepy. C-O-U-N-T-K-R-E-E-P-Y. Ah.